Salutations.
We are pop culture.
Hi-yo, Silver! Away! What was that, Ron? Jeff?
That was Mr. Red.
Well, that was a horse, of course. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Brian Burchett Ross with Popped Culture, and this is episode 48, which I have called Hi-yo, Silver!
Nice!
Away!
Nice!
And that was the episode, folks. We're leaving now.
I hope you enjoyed it,
because we're away.
Quick draw, McGraw.
Anyway, folks, welcome back. I'm glad you came back. Again, my name is Brian Burchett Ross. I am your host. And around this porch with me are men of a certain age, the men who keep me going many, many, many times in many different ways. I love these guys. They are the best. As we're heading towards episode 50, and I've got bad news for them, I just want to let them know that I don't have bad news for them. I just want to let them know that they are the absolute best. Anyway, so with that out of the way, let me have them introduce themselves. We have...
Oh, I'm Robert Yeoman.
And we have...
Jeff Finley.
And we have...
Ron Roberts.
And we have...
Right.
It's a little prospector.
It's all right.
We have Cletus.
Wonder Brendan.
Dave Warr.
We have Dave Warr.
Cowboy, who the hell thought of that?
Well, Bob didn't do anything funny. Somebody had to, right?
Gentlemen.
We're still waiting.
Yes, it's
a second
kidding. Episode.
I'm kidding. Put that gun down.
Well,
that's not a gun either.
Good night, folks.
It looks more like a pea shooter from this angle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
My
help
God.
Us all.
Dave, you're going to put your eye out with
Have
that thing.
Have some more sugar.
What?
Not putting my eye out.
Anyway, gentlemen, how are we today?
Cantankerous, it seems.
Yeah, cantankerous. It's been a while since the last episode, so it's good seeing you guys again. It really, really is.
Thank you.
Hey, I have nothing to start with, so we're just going to dive right into this topic, which is Westerns. Dave wanted to do the Western genre, and... I said, I think that's a great idea. So take it away, Dave.
Okay. Well, we all loved Westerns, and we sure miss them, don't we? Thank you, Brian. Back to you.
This is more interesting than a match.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, I really did like Westerns.
Did you?
As a kid, it was a different era growing up in the 60s and 70s, because today's Westerns are all kind of dark and gloomy, and they try to make it look like it, you know, how it was. Westerns back in the day were more about a sense of adventure, purpose. There were unfortunate things that were rightly dismissed from the Westerns. They tended to gloss completely over the plight of the indigenous people, as we might say today, the Native Americans, and what was done to them. But they tried to get everything down to bad guys and good guys. You know, the Native Americans were the bad guys always, and the settlers were the good guys, when, you know, history probably has a different view on that. There we are. Mm-hmm. But we just don't have fun with Western. And to me, we don't have fun with Westerns anymore. For example, a show like F Troop was a Western, but I can't think of a way to do it today. Just because of, you know, it was based on this kind of fictional West that never existed.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of this, Fort Courage was this place where, everybody actually got along. And they tried to keep outsiders outside, but the reality is, you know, they, at least that's how they portrayed it, is nobody was taking advantage of anybody, when the reality is that somebody was taking advantage of everybody,
right?
Even among the settlers themselves. It just was a different time.
Well, now F Troop, was that I know that was set. Was that set like right before or after the Civil War? Or
it
was
would have
that
been after the Civil War, during the Western expansion.
During the Indian.
Okay.
Yeah, so during the
Indian remember.
Would have been during the Indian Wars. In fact, that's one of the references they always have is the Hiakawi, I think it was the name of the tribe, that they traded with and they were in on the business that Sergeant O'Rourke was illegally running out of the fort because that's what you did in comedies in those days. You had some sort of illegal operation like a...
Always getting hurt here, folks.
Yeah, well, the military, they did the same things...
Bill Cohen.
Sergeant Bill Cohen, things like that.
Right.
You know, there was always some underground thing going on.
Right. Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, they were trying. Well, Hogan's Heroes was actually more altruistic. But the, you know, so the Apache or the Comanche or whoever the other tribes that were in the area, they were always fierce. And the Hiakawi always had to pretend that they were just as fierce.
Yeah.
But they never were. And same thing with the troops at Fort Courage. Well, we don't want to go kill the Indians because they're actually our friends.
Right.
And so that led to some tension. There was for those Murrowites who are listening, there was an appearance by George Custer. Parmador was the name of the main character, Ken Berry. He gets off a coach and he's talking to Custer, who's apparently on his way to Little Bighorn.
Really?
And he says, well, good luck in Little Bighorn, or something. It's like, off they go.
Let us know how it
they
turns
were making,
out.
Yeah, right when you get work. We won't change anything until you get back. And they never did. But so that's kind of thing. But beyond that, you had other comedies that were Westerns in the movies.
Right.
I think we talked a little about the Cheyenne Social Club with Jimmy Stewart, to the Support Your Local Sheriff, Support Your Local Gunfighter with James...
James Garner.
James Garner.
Which I just watched the other night because I did... You had mentioned Cat Ballou.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Marvin, and so I sat down to watch that. I didn't make it all the way through. I fell asleep.
Okay.
But I am not a Western type of person. But I did turn around and then watch the next night. I hadn't seen it in a while. Support Your Local Gunfighter. My God, that's a funny movie.
Yeah, Support Your Local Sheriff. It's essentially a sequel, but it's basically they took the same cast, put them in another plot, and did that. And I think Hollywood actually had a lot of those kind of sequels that aren't sequels. It's like, we're just going to put this cast together again. I would say almost all the Don Rickles movies, it was like, we're going to bring you back, right, Mr. Chicken, and we're going to do this with the ghost or the reluctant astronaut and things like that. And it's kind of the same premise. They were basically extended TV shows for the period, but they were fun. And plus, if you looked in the background, you could see the Munster's house because they always filmed in Universal.
Well, and really, and I know there was a lot of comedy in Westerns, especially on TV. But even before that, they had you had your Hopalong Cassidy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where it started, was Hopalong Cassidy, and you had your Lone Ranger, which I did actually like Lone Ranger. That was one I always watched.
Roy Rogers. Dale Evans. She was, they worked together. Cisco Kidd.
Oh, yeah, Cisco Kidd. Zorro.
Zorro, which was Disney.
Yeah, and Zorro and Lone Ranger were my two. I'm not a Western person, but those two I did watch. I think it's because I realized I like Men en Masse.
Okay.
Well, hey, it's got to start somewhere.
Hey, I just wanted to see that David look.
And Bob left the room, but Zorro had a cape.
Because Zorro had a cape, yes, he did.
I'm sure Bob liked Zorro.
You talk about comedies. Now, there was some in the 70s, and I think I mentioned it on our Facebook Messenger. It was an Italian-made movies, but they were meant to be comedy, pretty much your first cowboy action karate-type thing. Terrence Hill was his name, or Terrence Hill? Terrence Knox. I got to look it up. And Bud Spence, who are good friends.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Trinity. My name is still Trinity. And then my name is Nobody. But they were comedy.
Were these the so-called spaghetti westerns?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they were.
Clint Eastwood was in some of those.
He was part of the spaghetti western genre. I don't know if he was in any of those, though. I know Henry Fonda was in one of them, for sure. But that was made in the 70s.
But yeah, because they were made cheap in Italy.
Yeah.
The other ones I'm thinking of too on TV, though, before then, there was a show I really liked called Laredo, which was about Texas Rangers. Neville, shoot, I can't remember his name now. Just hilarious in that show. Neville Brown, maybe?
Terrence Hill.
But anyway, that's the kind of lightheartedness that I just don't think you see in the Western today, and maybe for good reason. Yeah. But when you mention Italians, it also occurred to me a lot of the people who played the Native Americans were actually of Italian descent.
Oh yeah,
you know, they wanted swarthy looking people, but they couldn't find enough of Native Americans, so they found Italians.
Yeah. Well, Burt Reynolds played an Indian.
He did half-breed, I guess.
Or half-breed on, what, the Gunsmoke, or was it the other one?
Yeah, Gunsmoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jewish actors, too, I think they used, for whatever reason. Yeah. You know, Hollywood, back in the day, wasn't exactly known for its progressive ways.
No,
either.
No, not
I don't know if it's changed either, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know, they just were... a different, but that, you know, Bonanza was on for years and years and years.
Gunsmoke even longer.
Which turned into Ponderosa. Gunsmoke was on
radio.
Forever.
Yeah.
You know, that Gunsmoke was the archetype. Of Western, I think.
Yeah.
Rawhide.
Yeah.
And some of those were actually more serious as well.
Right. The Rifleman.
They had their
Rifleman. Yeah.
Maverick. You
know, the character of Festus was only there for comic relief for the most part.
Correct. Right.
For example, Gunsmoke.
Now, Maverick was a James Garner. That was more of a
lighthearted approach.
Yeah. And,
but again, they all kind of built on the myth of what the Wild West was.
Right.
And frankly, the Wild Wild West.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Wild Wild West.
That was basically James Bond in the West.
It was James Bond in the West.
I've been watching that. My wife got me the whole TV series for Christmas. I've been watching that.
Really?
I watched the first episodes, and it had, what's his name? Big actor.
Yeah. Oh, no, the big guy.
He played King Tut in Batman.
Oh, Vic Morrow. Victor
Bruno.
He was playing in
Chinese.
Or an Asian man. And it was like, oh, wow. There was a stereotype that just like, oh, I mean, he was great as always, but it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening.
No.
And frankly, I'm surprised it even happened then. Charlie Chan was played by Americans, wasn't he? I should say Americans of European descent.
Yes.
Because you could be, obviously, you could be Asian and of Asian descent and still be an American, obviously.
Right. Right.
You know, one of the first comedy westerns that I saw, actually, and I love it, I'll watch it time to time, is Cap Ballou.
Which Brian apparently falls asleep to.
So. Well, yeah, but I fell asleep during Wicked, so who knows?
Well, you know, there's a scene in there he plays with Kid Chalene, isn't it? And he plays an old gunfighter, you know, and he turns into a drunk. But there's a scene where he's trying to get serious and save Jane Fonda's, you know, from her. And he pulls out this, his valet, and it's got all his old vests and guns and everything. You know, he's dressed to the T. And this inspired me every time, usually on a Friday night, I'd have a box. I had a box made, and I had all my vests and my guns and everything. And Saturday morning, I would get all dressed up in my hat and everything else. And, of course, my wife made me stop because the Spurs were ruining the furniture. But
I'm glad he said furniture. I got a little worried.
No. I did it as a kid.
What does furniture
great.
Mean? what is that code for?
it was a fun movie. It was a fun movie.
Well, and I didn't what I saw I didn't dislike. It's just, you know, I didn't start it till 10:30.
It's a time thing.
Yeah,
you know, context matters, Brian.
No. And it didn't have Harry Morgan.
Nothing good happens after 10:30 at night. That's
my house.
That's my saying. Used to be nothing good happens after midnight, and nothing good happens after 10.
I can't account for anything after 9:15. I'm sorry.
But I did like it.
but yeah, did you watch The Villain by any chance?
I saw the two guys. Oh, wait. The villains in Cat Ballou?
No.
Was that the movie called The Villain?
No. Kirk Douglas, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Arnold,
yeah. It was almost like a Warner Brothers
cartoon come to
life. Really?
Yeah.
Roadrunner
cartoon. Now I have seen Shane, the villain in Batman.
That's Bane.
That's Shame.
The original TV series.
Shame.
Played by Shame. Yes, that was a takeoff on Shane. Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Ron.
Shane.
Played by, who was he played by? It was a famous...
Cliff Robertson.
Oh, Cliff Robertson? Yeah, he was a Batman villain.
He was a Batman villain named Shane?
Shame, yeah. Shame. And
he was supposed to be Shane.
It was a takeoff on that, yeah. The little boy kept going, come back, Shane.
Little Bard buddy, what do you got? Oh, you got some candy. Thank you very much. Now get out of my way.
Oh, my gosh.
But when it comes to comedies and westerns, the best, greatest comedy western ever was Mel Brooks's
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. I was sure you were going to say the Apple Dumpling Gang. And which leads me to the other thing. There's a lot of movies I think we don't think of as westerns that were actually westerns. Like Old Yeller was a western.
Yes, it was. Yes. I think when you get down to it, Little House on the Prairie
was a western.
It was a western. Yeah. It was probably the most boring western I'd ever watched in my life. But for me, my sister had to watch it at the time.
Michael Landon was an attractive man.
I don't think that was what my sister was looking at. But
why?
I cannot either confirm or deny that.
Melissa Gilbert?
I can neither confirm nor deny
that. She's a Michigander.
She is. You know what? Let's do our I want to get to know y'all. I know I'm stuttering a lot on this.
How much
one.
More do you need to know?
Hit it, Julie.
Oh.
Did I do it right?
You did it right.
Getting to know about you.
Thank you, Julie. Hey,
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah. Wow. She was taken aback for a second there.
All right.
So, gentlemen, getting to know you question for this one was, give me your favorite Western movie and TV show. And I really had to, for me, I had to really think about these, and then both of them hit me, and I went... Holy crap, there were two that I absolutely, totally loved. So we'll get to me last because it's my show. Let's start with Dave because it's his episode.
Well, I actually liked True Grit, the remake. Because it was closer to the book. Mm-hmm. But I'm just tossing it out there because I also like John Wayne, and I think the best movie he did was Rooster Cogburn and the Lady, which was the sequel to True Grit.
Yeah, with Katharine Hepburn.
Katharine Hepburn. So that would be one of my favorite westerns. TV show-wise, Bonanza, only because I never was allowed to stay up late enough to watch it.
Wait, Dave. Hold on. So what you're saying is that Bonanza is your favorite TV show.
Western.
Western TV show. But you were never allowed to watch it?
Forbidden fruit, Brian. Forbidden fruit.
But I guess why? Why weren't? Because you're too young.
I was too young. I was too young. My bedtime was 9 o'clock, and I think that's about when it came on.
I see. Okay. All right.
I was only 17 at the time. So. I'm kidding, but no, I was a kid. So it went off the air before I ever got a chance to actually watch it. I have seen it in reruns and such, of course, now too. And I don't know why I liked it.
But
I thought I would like it.
But after seeing it in reruns and all that, it's still your favorite. Mm-hmm. It's still your favorite on the TV show.
I'd have to say.
All right.
It got a little sappy towards the end when they decided to start focusing on Little Joe and his getting married. And I thought it was a mistake, frankly, when they got him married and then they killed the wife right off. Sorry, I should have said spoiler.
Wow, I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. Not that I'm ever going to watch it.
I've been meaning to watch that the last 50 years.
They went in and they said, okay, show's getting a little tired. We got to do a ratings boost. Let's mix it up a little. Let's introduce a family, which would have made sense because, at this point... Ben Cartwright, the dad, was the only one who had ever been married. And it's like, so they got Little Joe married, but I think in the same episode they decided they wanted the drama.
Right, right.
And give, shoot, why is his name escaping me now? Guy with the hair.
Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
Thank you. give him his star turn there.
Yeah.
And they did that, and then they decided, okay, so they I think they actually, spoilers again, burned the house down with the family in it or something.
You're right.
With the family in it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just burn it all down, folks.
And
it
was now Lauren remember. Green.
Pardon?
It was Lauren Green said, just burn it. We're done with it. Let's just burn it to the ground. And they went, okay.
Hmm.
It's not being renewed.
But they basically put it back right where it was. And it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes I think shows should follow their instincts. And it's like, if you need to change things up, change things up.
Right.
Because it bugs me. And Bonanza's not the only one that did it, but it's like, you make this change, and then you decide, okay, we're going to clean it up this episode. And it's like, well, maybe it would have been good to introduce that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start veering off to a space western, perhaps, Star Trek The Next Generation. You know, when they introduced the Lower Decks crew.
Right.
In that one episode, Lower Decks. Then they just said, okay, we're never going to see these guys again.
Am I mistaken? Like, am I mistaken?
It's like they should have, I think they should have shown those characters again.
Didn't they change the name, or maybe I'm dreaming, it was from Bonanza to Ponderosa.
My understanding
so was that a spinoff then?
My understanding is Ponderosa was what they used in syndication.
That
somehow they, and I may be wrong, but that.
Okay.
There also is probably some copyright when the restaurant came out.
Hmm.
Well, I think there were the two restaurants. There was both Bonanza right. and Ponderosa, and I think they were taking the names of the TV show.
Ponderosa was better.
Yes.
Salad bars worked, you know.
And there's something about their French dressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You and I have talked about that many times.
We have not had that again.
Yes. Well, there's
it was
a
kind of a cross between French and Russian. It wasn't quite Catalina.
Yeah, but it was unique, and I've never found it since.
Folks, I think we could take this opportunity to announce Brian and Dave's new podcast.
Salad dressing. Salad dressings I have known.
Anyway.
And the croutons.
Actually, you know, that might be an interesting podcast. Talk about foods
food?
That we've lost over the years, and can we find them?
They'll be traveling to restaurants around the globe.
I'm all for that. So, okay, so Jeff, you're next. What a TV show and movie? What's your favorite Western TV show?
TV show, and actually, I've been kind of watching this again because I got it for Christmas. Wild Wild West, which is kind of a cross between James Bond and just all the gadgets he wears. The movie, man, there's so many different movies. I think I mentioned this. Jeremiah Johnson, which takes place out in the West, but it's not a true Western. It was an excellent movie, but Silverado.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence Kasdan movie.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good one.
One of Kevin Costner's first.
Yes,
A
total different character in that he is in the other one. He was kind of a goofy kind of character. Man, there's just so many. I mean, Lonesome Dove was another. But I just keeping it brief, I'd say Silverado.
Silverado?
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had forgotten about that one. Yeah. What about you, Bob? TV show and movie?
Well, once again, Jeff has stolen my thunder because we all want to be in the Wild Wild West and not that movie with
Will Smith.
Oh, no. I think Ross Martin was much better actor than Robert Conrad because they gave him all these characters to play and everything else. Robert Conrad was the same character all throughout the
movie. Take your shirt off. We need him.
He was the beefcake.
He's a William Shatner type thing.
Yeah. What about movie, Bob?
Western movie. You know, it's an older one. Sons of Katie Elder.
Oh, yes. John Wayne and Earl Holloman and Dean Martin.
Dean Martin. Why haven't I heard of that? Now I'm interested.
It was very good.
Was somebody else famous in
wasn't Dean Martin in a couple Westerns?
Yes, he was in the Rio Bravo. It was one of those two.
Yeah.
Was he in The Shootist, too?
John Wayne was, which was another excellent movie because it was at the end of his career.
Yeah. Well, and it was essentially kind of mirrored a biopic. It was a gunfighter with cancer.
Yeah. But Ed Asner was in Sons of Katie Elder as well. He played the bad guy.
Did he really?
If I'm not mistaken.
It's been too long since I've watched that.
I think you're right.
And, the kid that played his son.
John Wayne's son was John Wayne's son.
No. He played Ed Asner's son.
I'm sorry.
Oh, he was an Easy Rider. Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper. Mm-hmm. Good old Dennis Hopper.
George Kennedy was in that
George
movie?
George Kennedy, yeah.
Oh, George Kennedy at the movies. Nope, sorry. No. That was good.
That is a good movie, though.
Yeah, it is.
George Kennedy was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. What about you, Ron?
Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate you asking.
And the slams begin.
I was not a big Western TV fan, so I was not did not really watch the TV shows. However, on the film side, there's two that I really, really like, and I know we're only allowed to say one.
No, you can say as many as you want.
So the first one, I think, is Magnificent Seven.
The remake? Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was not a fan of the remake, the original. And then, to me, I think another one that is a quintessential, maybe one of the best Westerns, is Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. Unforgiven. I haven't seen that one either.
Excellent.
But
you haven't?
No, you know what? I'm not a Western. I really am not a Western.
Well, forget that it's a Western. Just watch it
for the themes and the story itself.
The acting.
I know, and that's what I've heard.
But this is a safe place. We shouldn't be disparaging what Brian watches and what he doesn't watch. Mm. That's for the listeners to do.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what I watch.
Okay.
Let me just make this.
I'm with you now. You were losing me, but
Got back. Let the listeners do that, Dave. That's what they're here for.
Please send the emails.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
But yeah, maybe on the quiz, but The Unforgiven, when Clint Eastwood made that movie, Westerns really weren't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And he just kind of said, I'm going to do this film.
Yeah.
And he did. And it was, again, the themes. And you could have set that in any time frame.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and it would have been a great film. But yeah, that was one I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. I never heard a bad thing about it. I heard it was like a nice reinvention of the Western, and it kind of brought it back, the concept of it again into the movies.
What about you, Brian?
Thanks for asking, Ron. Okay, well, as we know, as I stated earlier, I am not, there's nothing about Westerns I care for. I did watch Lone Ranger, I watched Zorro, the reruns. I watched Mr. Ed, which is a Western.
It's got a horse in it.
It's got a horse, so, you know, we're close.
It was in California.
It was in California.
Well, it is the West.
Someone give him a lozenge, for God's sake.
But, TV show, after I really started thinking about it, I'm like, duh, there was a TV show that I did enjoy, but it was only on for a very short time. It was called Briscoe County Jr.
Oh,
I remember that one.
With
Bruce Campbell. Absolutely.
It was kind of a wild ride. Yeah. It definitely lent towards comedy and action more than a serious thing. So I will have to say, if there's a Western TV show that I really would watch, that was it. Although I did watch Wild Wild West. Yeah. I did like that as well. The movie-wise, I was thinking, and I always went back to Blazing Saddles because I'm like, what else did I ever like as a Western? And then it hit me, there is one Western in my life that I absolutely loved. I had to make sure my boys watched it. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yes.
And I watched The Sting too, but I never thought The Sting had the same flavor, the same dynamics. Yeah. Even between Paul Newman and Robert Redford, there wasn't that same.
I like the soundtrack, though.
The Sting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, you didn't like Raindrops Keep Falling on
My
Head?
No, I did, but I'm just, The Sting was just cool. But anyways.
That's one of those movies that glorified the bad guys of the Old West, which really a lot of Westerns did for some reason. You know, there was a time when I think Westerns took some of those bad guys and turned him into almost anti-heroes. I mean, Butch Cassidy was not a nice person. Right. But everything I read also said that, he wasn't as bad as others. He didn't go around like Jesse James just shooting people because he was... Because
he was snoring too loud.
He was snoring too loud. And let me add, if you're a Brady Bunch fan, Bobby loved Jesse James.
Oh, that's right. I remember that episode.
Yeah. Remember that episode?
Yeah, Martha was his hero. An apple song.
They came in and killed all his family.
Yeah.
Yes, and then they had the old guy come in and talk to him or something.
Yes, yeah. He said, my dad.
I knew Jesse James. Yeah.
My dad was killed by Jesse James.
He slept with my mother. Yeah. Anyways.
So,
you know, I find you think of some of the campier westerns, like Roy Rogers coming in with his, you know, horse trigger and decked out and all the. Of course, they weren't color films, as far as I know, but
the fringe,
the fringe, and the yeah, just yeah. The singing cowboy coming in, and,
which wasn't realistically yeah. what the cowboys were at all.
Yeah. Netflix did a show. Oh gosh, what was it? It was like a series, of like four or five different mini. Oh my gosh, I can't think of it. Mini scenarios of westerns, and it was about a singing cowboy. One of them. Oh gosh, can you remember the name of that?
It doesn't sound.
Liam Neeson was in it.
Don't worry, Ron's heading towards that Google machine.
The funny looking guy.
Hey, I have
the,
resemble
the
that.
Kid
remark.
That the kid that was
Steve
in
Steve Buscemi.
No.
Actually, yeah, I think he's pretty close to Buscemi.
Well, there you go.
The guy that was in, he was in a couple movies. I can't even, Tim something. Ah, shoot. Anyways.
Tim Robbins?
No.
Tim Conway?
He was in Old Brother We're Out, though.
Bat Tim,
yeah.
Tim Goodman? No, that was John Goodman.
Anyways, but that was on not too long ago.
I think it's still on it.
Listen, we're recording this
Tim
in the morning.
Meadows or?
Tim Meadows.
No, he was white.
Is that right? No, I mean, is Tim Meadows the right name?
Tim Meadows is the right name.
That's the right name, but that's not.
He was on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Do not
ridiculous.
That at all.
Ridiculous Six.
That was another. Yeah, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Taylor Lautner, Rob Schneider.
Oh,
Rob Schneider must have been a great movie.
Well, I mean,
he was
all his work is gold.
Tim Nelson.
Oh,
Terry Crews,
Liam Neeson,
David Spade,
James
Bruce
Franco,
Wilson.
Brendan Gleeson, who is in also Harry Potter,
Nick Nolte, Will Forte,
Dan Trejo, Clancy Brown,
Nick Nolte, Rob Schneider, and David Spade. Now,
Harvey Keitel.
What else could
how could you miss?
How could you miss?
Oh, you're
talking.
I think you're talking about the Ridiculous Six. I think I was talking about the other one.
I am talking about the Ridiculous.
Yeah, no,
six. I'm sorry.
So very
well, ridiculous.
It was,
six is different than whatever the
what he just said.
Worth watching if you get a chance to see it. Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It's funny, but it's
It's probably been pulled from Netflix now.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. What were you gonna say, Dan?
Nothing. I was gonna say so much, but I could not get a word in edgewise. Well, with Magnificent Seven, I think the problem with the Magnificent Seven remake was, that, like with all remakes, they forgot exactly what the original movie was about.
I agree.
I don't like it when they do a frame-by-frame reshoot of a movie. It's like, well, we already have that movie.
Yeah.
Let's do something else. But they decided, oh, this movie's about explosions and gunfire, I think.
Yeah.
And they forgot the heart of it. And then Wild Wild West, I don't think we mentioned it already this podcast, but that first episode, if you want good examples of racial profiling and cultural appropriation, right there in that first episode, it all happens with Victor Bruno.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Chinese, whatever it was. Yeah.
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 It is a callback to it. It's like, wow. I mean,
yeah, things were not nice back then.
It was just like, wow. I mean, I enjoyed the episode.
Sure.
And again, because they all did their jobs, but it was like, wow.
But, you know, and I think like with things like that, and we talked about this on the other podcast, is we try to tend to put everything through the filter of today.
Right.
You know, I mean, it, not saying it was right. But, you know, you watching that show back then, that's what it was.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it doesn't make anybody or, you know.
I will say this.
And he was in disguise the whole time.
He was. Oh, that was part of the thing.
Sorry. Another spoiler.
Yeah. So, as I said, I got the whole series on DVD for Christmas. I just finished watching it. Towards the end of the run, they started introducing more black actors in better roles and just whatever. Actually getting pretty decent parts and integrated them. So I think they kind of saw what was coming possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was definitely It probably ran a year longer than it should have because they're really running out of plots.
Yeah, a lot of just shows. I don't know how Bonanza and all them ran as long as they did, but like you said, they, you know, and Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke's another one. I never watched Gunsmoke, but that.
Gunsmoke lasted forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Started off as a TV or a radio show.
Well, right. They canceled Gilligan's Island to make room for Gunsmoke on the schedule.
How dare they?
After only three short seasons.
I know. That's just.
Which, of course, actually solidified Gilligan's Island, I think, into pop culture history because people hadn't quite got enough of it.
Right.
Mm. Whereas if it had run its natural course, it probably would have been over in a year or two anyway, and everyone would just kind of got it.
Yeah, let's forget that. Another one, movie-wise, that probably, to me, is as close to Butch Cassidy and Sundance, and the only one that I watch over and over and over is Tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I do love Tombstone. Val Kilmer, who we'll talk about here at the end of this episode, I think that was one of Val Kilmer's greatest roles as Doc Holliday. I think he really personified. Yeah. Now, whether it was that's how Doc Holliday was or not, I don't know.
But he
made that role his own. And I mean, you could tell he was into that role. But anything with Kurt Russell in it to me is just heaven.
Did you see The Hateful Eight with?
I did not.
That was a very disturbing.
I did not.
Kurt Russell in that one. It was a molester.
Oh, yes, I did. That was a.
And Samuel L. Jackson. And,
that was a. What's his name?
Tarantino.
Tarantino movie. Yeah. I did see that.
And Django Unchained. Another one.
Was Hateful Eight a Western?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we got Three Stars for Texas, Magnificent Seven, Hateful Eight. What shows are there with 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 in the number? Six.
Yeah. Never mind.
It seems to be a theme.
Western and numbers. Who knew they could count that high? Sorry, that was a bad. I apologize to all the cowboys out there.
They have to be able to count all the head of cattle.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Django and Jane. I mean, again, anything with Tarantino, you know it's going to be bloody. You know it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to see a lot of feet.
Yeah he's going to. Again, we could probably talk about Tarantino elsewhere, but the fact that the man wrote a part in a movie where Selma Hayek would pour champagne down her foot and someone would lick it off it, and then he cast himself. There you go.
Well, not only that, but did you ever see, and I know we're tangenting, but that's what we do here. We've done it for 48 episodes. Did you ever see the Tarantino's last one, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it was called?
I did not see it.
There is, and I really like that one, actually, a lot, with Matt Damon and Brad Pitt. What's her name? I played Harley Quinn. The female.
Anywho,
there are so many.
How quickly we forget.
I know.
she's really
big though, folks.
She's.
But Margot Kidder.
Jesus.
I was going to see that one.
But not now.
Yeah, Margot Robbie with her huge tracts of land.
May you rest in peace. But. Anyway, but that one, there are scenes. There is like a full 4 or 5 minute scene where you just see Margot Robbins.
You know, I don't know what you have with Margot Kidder.
I don't either.
Please don't.
She came to a party once. She kind of crashed it. Anyway, I apologize to the estate of Margot Kidder.
Look it up, kids. It's
look
a legitimate
it up, kids.
Joke.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a scene where she's riding with Brad Pitt, and you just see her feet on the dashboard. And it just, you see Brad Pitt talking, and then you see Margot's feet. And then you see Brad Pitt talking, and then you see Margot's feet. Wow. And it's like, okay, we get it, Tarantino. We know where your quirk is.
He likes what he likes.
He likes what he likes. Yeah.
But anywho.
You know, the only movie I really remember seeing as a Western at the theater itself, and actually, I think it was a drive-in. It was... with John Wayne, actually one of his own sons was in it. It was Big Jake.
Oh.
Big Jake. Mm. And that was the only one I actually saw in theater. But Bobby Vinton was in it. You know, he was a big singer back then. Was... I know. He got shot in the very first scene.
I'm in a Western. No, you're not.
That'll sell a couple of tickets.
I will say this. I'm going to throw out a controversial comment here.
What?
Oh, no.
I never, ever, ever thought John Wayne was an actor.
No.
John Wayne was a personality that sold. And he was the, in quotation, the American icon of his time.
Absolutely.
But John Wayne, and I can't say I've saw every John Wayne movie because I haven't. I mean, there were mostly
you've
all
seen
Westerns.
One, you've seen them all.
Pretty much. Now, some people will argue that some of his later work, maybe Rooster
Cockburn, which he won the Oscar for, that is actually on Netflix right now as well.
But again, he was just...
Just being,
I think, showing us his actual sense of humor.
And the Shootist was okay. I mean, again, it was towards the end of his career, but
which was probably the one that actually showed him doing some acting, because he played the same character all the time.
Though
he was that archetypal is that the right word? American male. My sister in high school, junior high, had a full size poster of him on her wall.
Oh.
Of who?
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. I mean, not weird, but I mean, that's just not something I would assume. I mean,
I remember that. But
what other choices did she have at the time? I mean, when they said
the role,
you kind of
pat the ball. But no, John Wayne for the American, I'm sure he had a certain. I think he had a certain sex appeal for women.
Yep.
Rugged, took care of you, took care of every, he basically took care of everything. He was, he just said what he would do and did what he said. And, in the movies at least. I'm sure his personal life was probably a little more complicated.
Yeah, don't read the internet.
I'm sure. Hey, you guys. Dave. This was your episode. Anything else you want to say before we move on to a quiz?
No, I've only got 100 questions here, so I hope that works. Oh, you have one prepared. I will certainly defer to you, sir.
Oh, if you have a quiz, I'd be very happy.
Please. I hate to break with tradition now. Mine probably does a little too deep of a dive into the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Oh,
hey, specifically, Apple Dumpling Gang rides again.
You mentioned that earlier, and those were some really, those were movies.
Yeah. You can't see his face.
See that?
That's why we should be on YouTube, Brian.
That was a visual.
Reminds me of the Family Guy bit when Peter Griffin's at the movie or the TV Hall of Fame, and Don Knotts comes out, and he's like, "Oh, you had sex with half the Dumpling Gang." You were in that. Do the math. Yes.
So I guess what we can take from this episode is that Westerns used to be a thing.
Wow.
Before we go off the air, has anybody mentioned Cat Ballou?
Oh,
yeah, we did it at the beginning.
Good one. Good movie.
Yeah.
Cat Ballou.
Right. Okay, so we've got, we're going to do a quiz. Let me get my stuff here.
What's Jeff going to win?
Please. Westerns are not my big forte.
Well,
that stuff and...
Yes, he knew about
it. You have to win a bell.
Then you walk off with the big debs.
And we do have... I bought these a long time ago at this point, so I hope they're still good. But yeah, Spring Butterfly Cakes by Little Debbie, or as we affectionately call her here, Big Deb.
Big Deb.
And I noticed that she's wearing her blue plaid.
Her traditional blue.
She's wearing the traditional blue.
Valentine's Day is over.
Are those made out of real butterflies?
Oh, God.
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
I'm all nervous now.
But I guarantee you.
And I know people think that somehow we're being this is a sponsorship thing, but it's not. We so wish it was.
Yeah, I know.
They also have Mother's Day cakes out right now, too.
Hold on. Like May episode's coming right around.
Can we hope for the birthday? And they have a delicious birthday cake flavored cream pie now.
Well, don't get too excited. But our next episode's coming in a week.
Oh, yeah.
So you never know what you might
lemon
get on
or
that
strawberry.
You might be disappointed. Okay, gentlemen, let's do the quiz. We're going to start right at the right here on my left, and we will go around. So, Ron, we're going to start with you. Okay. Oh, God, it's been so long since I've looked at this quiz, I don't even know what I'm reading.
It's a number one.
A surprise for everybody.
It is. It is, Bob. I was a troubled teenager. Where after,
I'm sorry about that.
Where after robbing several jewelry stores and driving a stolen car across state lines, I was captured and sent to a penitentiary in Springfield, Missouri. I was in San Quentin and was fortunately paroled just before my 21st birthday. I later played the role of Bill Longley, a gunfighter in the Texan series. Who am I?
What the hell is this?
My 100 questions were a lot easier.
I was going to say.
What's the name and of shorter, Tonto's probably, horse?
Too. Wow.
Bonus points if you can tell us how many breaths it took to read that.
What are my choices?
Rory Calhoun, A, B, Jack Elam, or C, Gabby Hayes.
I thought we were talking about Western.
We are.
And those three actors are all.
Oh, they're pretty big.
Could you give me the choices? I'm not going to make you read the question. Just
good. Good. A, Rory Calhoun. B, Jack Elam, if I pronounce that right.
Elam.
Elam. Yeah. And C, Gabby Hayes.
Give me Gabby Hayes, Brian.
Gabby Hayes. What about you, Bob?
Mr. Elam, please.
Elam.
Rory Calhoun.
Rory, the old Rory Calhoun, Dave says, and...
Yeah, I've heard Rory Calhoun was a big drunk, so I think Rory.
It was Rory Calhoun. Dave and Jeff got that one. All right. Bob, you're up next.
Real quick, did you know that he was originally supposed to be playing the part that Gene Wilder had in Blazing Saddles?
No.
Oh, that's right.
But he kept coming on stage drunk all the time, so they had to get rid of him.
So they got rid of him, and they brought...
And then they couldn't find Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Okay, number two, Bob. You're going to start this one. The theme song to this Western referred to the character as a knight without armor in a savage land. What was the TV series? Was it A, The Paladin, B, The Texan, or C, Have Gun, Will Travel? The Paladin... The Texan or
A,
Have Gun Will Travel?
The first one.
The Paladin. Dave.
I'm going with Paladin.
I Have Gun.
And Ron.
What was the second one?
The Texan.
I'm going to go with The Texan.
What did you say?
Have Gun Will Travel.
And what did you say?
Paladin.
Jeff got it with Have Gun Will Travel.
And surprising no one, Paladin, Jeff's in the Paladin. Lead.
Hold on
a second. That's what it does,
folks. Hold on a second, folks. In our next episode, I just threw the damn thing at him.
Well, there's a half hour of our lives to be playing.
Okay, Dave, number three. What was Hoss Cartwright's given name in the series? Was it... What? This is your favorite show, Dave.
He's never allowed to watch it, though.
It's like when he was in the back room playing
I can tell you the actor's
dragons.
Name.
No, he wasn't either.
A, Eric, B, Steve, or C, Jim?
I think it was Eric.
And Jeff. Eric, Steve, or Jim?
Okay, Steve. I'm going to say Jim.
And Ron.
I'm going to go Eric.
And Bob. Eric, Steve, or Jim?
I heard Jim.
Ron and Dave got that Eric. With Eric.
Don't know where I dredged that up from, Ron. So
impressive.
We got it right.
All right, Mister. I'm about to take these big dabs home with me.
Sandbag, Jeff over here.
Number four, Chuck Connors is best known for his portrayal as Lucas McCain in the Rifle. Ron, are you okay? Seems to be a bro
crush.
He's
heard of Chuck Connors.
Yeah. Chuck Connors is best known for as his portrayal of Lucas McCain in The Rifleman.
Yep.
He also played the role of Jason McCord in another Western series in 1965 to 66, which lasted for 48 episodes. What was the title of this series? A, Broken Arrow, B, Lawman, or C, Branded?
Oh, man. I think it was Branded. Lawman.
Okay.
I got excited because I thought you were going to ask me if I knew who his son was, because I do.
Who's the son?
Pete LeCocq. And it's true. He's a major league baseball player. Yeah, I know you want to make a joke, but it's true.
Hold on, folks. My tongue is bleeding.
But anyways, so what are my choices?
Thanks, Ron, for that. I appreciate it. Broken Arrow, Lawman, or Branded?
Lawman.
Okay. Bob.
Branded.
Okay. And Dave.
Lawman.
What did you say, Jeff?
Lawman.
Bob got it with Branded.
Darn it.
Good job, Bob.
I was thinking, I heard the other Broken Arrow and Branded, so I probably wasn't
the one. The one, yep. Yeah. Where are we at here? Ron, what is the highest grossing Western of all time as of 2024? Hold on. A, Dances with Wolves. B, Django Unchained. Or C, True Grit.
Which True Grit?
The original.
So, highest grossing,
mm-hmm.
is if that thing's been adjusted for inflation or no?
I don't know.
So, what are my choices again?
Dances with Wolves, Django Unchained, True Grit.
I'm going to go Django Unchained.
Okay. Bob.
The first one?
Dances with Wolves.
I'll go Dances with Wolves.
I'll go with Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves.
Django Unchained.
No! Yeah!
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's the newest film, so I figured
so
it was just, you know.
In 2020 dollars or whatever.
Right. So everybody's tied except Bob. But Bob's only one behind because everybody else has two. Number six. How many Westerns have won Best Picture Oscars? A, 2, B, 3, C, 4.
2.
Dave.
3.
Jeff.
Two.
And
show me two, Brian.
Four.
Wow.
They were Cimarron in 1931, wow. Dances with Wolves in 1990, Unforgiven in 1992, and No Country for Old Men in 2007.
I didn't know Cimarron.
Yep.
There will be blood.
All right. Who's Dave's next, right?
Sure.
Number seven, Clint Eastwood has won two Oscars. What were they for? A, Best Supporting Actor, B, Best Director, or C, Best Boy?
I believe they were for Best Director.
Jeff.
Best Director.
Show me the Best Director, Brian.
And Bob.
Best Director.
I don't understand why nobody went with Best Boy, but yes.
They weren't even for all the Westerns either, I don't think. Maybe they might have been.
All right.
Flags of our flags of our father. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going there.
Yeah, Flags of Our Father was one of them.
Okay.
Does it say what the other one was?
I didn't write it down. I thought it was Unforgiven.
It might have been Unforgiven. It could have been Unforgiven.
I think it was Unforgiven.
I thought it was for that one they filmed in Detroit, the
Gran Torino. Oh, that's
Gran
right.
Torino.
Gran Torino.
Oh, Gran Torino.
But
no, but this said.
I thought, you know, I'm not. I'm rarely right.
Oh, yeah. I think you might have been.
He wrote the music for that and everything.
Yeah. Who's next?
Jeff.
Me.
Jeff. How many Best Actor Oscars have there been in the Western genre? A, 5, B, 4, C, 3.
So now you're going way back to the 31s. I'm going to say 5.
And Ron.
I'm going to go with 4, Brian.
Bob.
4.
And I'm going to do 4, too.
Who said 5?
Jeff.
Jeff took it. And they were Warner Baxter in Last Frontier, 1931.
Right. Well, right. Of course.
Everybody knew that. Gary Cooper, High Noon, 1952. Lee Marvin, Cat Ballou, 1965.
Okay.
John Wayne, True Grit, 1969. And Kevin Costner, 1990, Dances with Wolves. Tell me about it.
It was a good movie, but I just...
Very long. Good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Over to you, Ron.
Thanks, Brian.
Number 9. John Wayne
Pilgrim.
Lost an Oscar nomination to what movie that he always said he hated? A, High Noon, B, Sound of Music, or C, All the King's Men?
So explain the question. So he didn't get a nomination?
He didn't even get a nomination, and he blamed this movie and said he hated the movie. Which one was it? High Noon, Sound of Music, or All the King's Men?
Seems like a trick question. Almost as if it was planted. It was planted to give to me. As I look in the corner and I look at Miss Andrews and she's staring at me right now.
That's a cold stare, too, it is. Man. That's a cold, dead stare.
You know what? I'm not going to win. So let's go with Sound of Music.
All right. Bob.
Sound of Music.
All right.
All the King's Men.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say Sound of Music.
All right. And it was All the King's Men. Dave is tied it up with Jeff. He was a staunch Republican. Yeah. All right. Bob, you're up next.
Oh, joy.
Though I would argue that how does one know they lost a nomination?
Pilgrim.
Well, because back then, well, they still do it.
I wonder what movie it was that he thought he should have got.
It's probably The Shootist.
Oh, well.
All the King's Men was what, though? That was
late 70s, because it was about Ronald Reagan. Or not Reagan, about Nixon.
It could have been The Shootist, yeah.
Number 10. Yeah. How many episodes, this is Bob, you're up first. How many episodes did Gunsmoke have in total?
Oh, my God.
A, 722.
Oh, my gosh.
B, 635. Or C, 671.
Seven.
671?
Yes.
All right. Dave, 722.
I'm going to go 722.
All right.
I'm assuming you're incorporating the radios as well, so 722.
And
I'll follow the leaders, 722.
635.
It was on for like 25 years.
Yeah. So. All right. Number 11. This is Dave. What year did Paint Your Wagon come out? Was it A, 1961? B, 1969, or C, 1970?
I think it was 69. Or 70.
69, you said? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 69.
Okay. Do we have a third 69?
Against better judgment, yes.
All right. And Bob, what do you say? 61, 69, or 70?
Are we tracking the movie or the stage show?
The movie.
I want to say 70.
Okay.
70.
Never go against a good 69. There you go, folks.
It was 69?
It was 69, yes. Okay, and Jeff, number 12. How many seasons? I love this one. How many seasons was Little House on the Prairie on?
Too many.
You got that right. A, 9, B, 10, or C, 11?
Lordy, I never watched it. 9.
All right.
I'm going to go with 10, Brian.
All right. Bob, 9, 10, or 11?
9, 10, or 11. 11.
And Dave?
I'm going to go with 9.
And it was 9. Dave and Jeff are still tied neck Shocker. To neck. Your turn.
Thank you.
Who replaced James Garner in The Maverick? In Maverick.
Ooh.
A, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. B, Roger Moore. C, Jack Kelly. Oh, big time actor.
I didn't know they had replaced him in the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted one too many pay raises.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., Roger Moore, Jack Kelly.
Give me Jack Kelly.
Bob.
Jack Kelly.
I'll go with Kelly as well.
You know Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., Roger
just
Moore.
Just saying that. It's so weird. I'm going to say Roger Moore just because.
Roger Moore.
God. I didn't think he did TV. That's why I didn't do it.
He did The Saint, and then he did Maverick. I don't know
if you can edit that out.
No, that's going to be the cold
Could
open.
I? Yes.
Well, you should do just a bleep.
He did a TV series with Tony Curtis, too.
That's the cold open.
Darn right. Okay,
it's Bob.
Bob. Who did James Garner say was his favorite co-star of all time? A, Suzanne Plachette, B, Anne Margaret, C, Julie Andrews.
Plachette.
Plachette? But she was in those two movies, right?
Yeah, Plachette.
That's a Suzanne.
Okay.
I'll say Plachette as well.
Oh!
Julie Andrews.
What movie were they in together?
I looked it up,
but
I couldn't
tell. Victor Victoria.
No, they weren't. No. Oh, yeah, they were in that together, but they were in another one before that.
Wait a minute. James Garner was in Victor Victoria?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the one who fell in love with Julie Andrews Robert and was Preston confused. Was
in it as well. Yeah.
Well,
if I'd realized that,
I might have changed my answer.
Yeah.
I only remember
Julie's waving to you there, Ron.
She's telling me who's number one.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
I remember Andrews and Preston and Karis.
Oh, see, I remember Karis. Oh, yeah, you're right, Karis.
This was the scene with Preston and Karis.
Who's next?
Dave's up.
Me? Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Jeff won.
No, it's only a one-point difference right now. No.
Yeah, but how many questions are left?
Two.
There you go.
And this couldn't have fallen on the right person.
Oh, net worth. Net worth.
How much was John Wayne's estate valued at the time of his death?
11 giggly dollars.
giggly? A, $6.85 million. B, $7.24 million, or C, $10.10 million.
I'm going to split the difference and go with the 7.
7.24. Jeff, 6.85, 7.24, 10.10.
I'm going to say the 6.
Okay. And
I'm going to take the high road, Pilgrim. 10.10 million.
All right. And Bob?
7.
7. Jeff got it, 6.8. All right, last one.
For semantics only.
So for semantics only, because this guy got it again.
For 10 million points.
Who?
It's Jeff.
It's Jeff, of course. Jeff.
this guy over here is saying yes.
What people don't know is he doesn't know like nothing. Big Debs.
I know.
I throw him away as soon
he's
as I get
diabetic,
home.
Folks. He's diabetic,
folks. I can't even
out the window as he's leaving Ellis Library.
He's just
out on M50.
Yeah, one hit your windshield at the time, did it?
Yeah. Let me go feed the ducks by the River Raisin.
I don't even like these things.
Okay, number 16.
But I don't want anybody else to have them.
Butterflies are meant to be free.
The Emmys.
Emmys.
Had 1 year of
butterfly
a
cakes.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Emmys.
Emmys had 1 year of a Best Western Series. That was the thing. They had the Best Western Emmy goes to. What show was the only winner in that category? A, Gunsmoke, B, Bonanza, or C, Maverick?
I'm going to say...
Well, that wasn't an answer, but okay.
Pardon me. Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. And what do you say?
Bonanza.
Bob, what do you say?
Gunsmoke.
And
I think it's Gunsmoke, but I'm going to say Bonanza because I'm a loyalist.
It was Maverick.
Maverick?
You're kidding me. When did they ever have a good episode of
Maverick? Did you watch Maverick?
No. It did have James Garner, so it should have been good.
And that's it, folks. And not surprisingly, look who won the Big Debs.
I'm starting to think it's rigged somehow.
I don't know how. Not they on my end.
Maybe because somebody is giving a hint as to who's going to get to know about the... Or a hint about the net worth of somebody before we come in?
No.
Would you guys care?
Just look up John Wayne, Jeff.
Hey, listen.
Not going to say anything more.
We are not quite done yet, unfortunately.
Oh, for God's sake, are we not?
No, not on this episode. Because we have a, and I do say this affectionately, a crap load of rest in peace to get through.
Yes, it's sad this month.
Yeah, it's the end of the May here. The two of them are sports people.
It's the end of April here, by the way.
Oh, yeah, end of April. Oh, that's right, the end of April.
Okay. They may not hear this till the end of May.
They may never hear this.
Yeah. And so, as usual, I turn to my friend Ron for the two that he's like, I don't remember, even though we just sent messages about this. Michael somebody was a... Baseball player. No, was a basketball player.
Football, one that just died of cancer?
The other one is this guy.
Oh, yeah. George Foreman. Yes.
Oh, George Foreman, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Seems like former world heavyweight champion. Oh, yes, gosh. George Foreman passed away.
And apparently a good guy, but he had no imagination when naming his kids.
Well, no, he named them all George first, Foreman, second, third, second, fourth, yeah. So George Foreman, obviously a professional boxer, pitch man. Big part of pop culture. He defeated Muhammad Ali. He was a great boxer then, fell on hard times and decided that he needed more money, so he
back into his 40s, he was really the first athlete to do that, where they came out of retirement at an advanced age and showed that he could still do things, and not everybody thinks they can. So I blame George Foreman for the fact that we still try to do things in our 50s and 60s. but then he also gained fame from his George Foreman grill.
Yes, he did.
Which I think we've all had, and we may all still have.
I have it.
Yeah.
I have one right
now.
I use it.
Here's an interesting story about the George Foreman grill, whether you believe it or not. Known liar, also pitchman, Hulk Hogan, also had the same agent at the time of George Foreman, so he claims. And he was not home at the time. But there was a message left on his phone, and I love Jeff's look because this is right what it is. That the agent said, Hulk, and even though his name was Terry Bollea, everybody called him Hulk, even when this. But anyways, Hulk, I've got a business proposition for you. We've got two things here that they want us to push. Either it's a grill type thing that you could put in your house, it would be the Hulk Hogan grill, or we've got a pasta maker. So get back with me and let me know what you want, and we'll just go right into production. Well, in typical Hulk Hogan fashion, he wasn't there, and he wasn't picking up the phone at the right time. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll get that. But anyways, so they went down the line and called George Foreman. George was there and said, well, I'll take the grill. And Hulk Hogan had pasta mania. And you can see which one was bigger.
Which one
but
hit,
but there's been some question as to whether or not that's an actual story or not. I don't believe it.
I don't either.
But hey, he said he was
because that's how it works.
Right.
They give you one message and that's it.
Yes.
If you don't respond,
move on.
It's like community theater. You know, if you don't answer the phone right away,
we don't hear from you in 5 minutes. The part goes to your nemesis.
And then the other death that we had was just a few days ago was Steve McMichael, who lost his battle with ALS. Mm. He was a professional football player, also in the world of pro wrestling, but that's another story. He was diagnosed with ALS about 5 years ago, and they had put a big push on before he died to get him elected into the Hall of Fame. And they actually did do it last year. And it's the first time where they actually had a ceremony outside of Canton. They actually went to his house, gave him his jacket, had the bust made. So, but he was one of the mainstays of the Chicago Bears defense in 1986, was considered the greatest defense to ever play the game. But he was also, his nickname was Mongo, which was after the Blazing Saddles character, which was played by Alex Karras. So he was another big name in the sports world that we just lost again to ALS. And I tell you, I've often wondered, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but there's so many professional athletes that have these type of diseases.
Oh,
or the other thing that always strikes me is how many of these high-functioning, high big-time athletes, their children are born with genetic diseases.
Mm.
And I often wonder, is there some type of, it seems strange.
Yeah, is there a connection there?
Is there, that it's almost, I don't want to say God's finger coming down and saying, okay, you're going to have everything. Mm. But then, your next generation may not. I mean, but Boomer Esiason's kid had cystic fibrosis. Jim Kelly's son is in a wheelchair. There's many others that are like that. But that's
interesting.
You'd have to look to see what percentages in the general population versus
that's true.
It may just be that they get more attention.
That could be. And that could be.
Because unfortunately, those disease or disorders, whatever,
are very common.
Are more common than we think.
True.
Yeah, it still blows my mind. I'll never understand the total irony in the world that Lou Gehrig actually got.
Yeah, yeah.
Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ron.
They named it after him.
That makes more sense.
Yeah,
it's ALS, but they named it.
But then they named it
more people know it by Lou Gehrig's
than ALS. That's what got him out of the game, and that's why they called it Lou Gehrig's disease.
Okay.
It was a valiant attempt at humor, Brian.
Okay. Never mind.
How blonde do you think I am?
I'm going to sit in the corner.
If you take the ball cap off, you're not blonde at all.
Well, hey, let's continue.
Well, you are wearing a Mets hat, so I don't know.
Whoa.
Carry on.
Let's continue with this somber moment here. We had a lot, folks, since last time. We had Jesse Colin Young, who was the lead singer and one of the founders of Youngblood, which was a big group in the 60s, music group. I better start marking these off so I remember. Clem Burke, who was the drummer for Blondie, passed away, one of my favorite groups.
I don't remember there being music in the shorts or the comic strip.
I don't either.
Roberta Flack.
Blondie played bass. Didn't she?
Roberta Flack passed away. A beautiful, beautiful singer. A lot of soul in her. Not anymore. Also, speaking of singers, Dolly Parton's husband, Carl Dean, passed away, who isn't technically a pop culture figure himself, but she is. And she always said that a lot of what her how she made it was because of him, because of his support.
Well, yeah.
But he hid. He never wanted any kind of limelight whatsoever. Well, yeah.
He had asphalt paving business.
Yes, and still ran until he died.
Yeah.
And he basically
stayed.
Yeah.
He said, "You do your thing, and I'm just going to live my life."
Yeah.
So
he never wanted the limelight.
Nope. George Lowe, which doesn't. You probably don't recognize, but if you watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast, he did the voice of Space Ghost in Space Ghost Coast to Coast. He passed away. Michelle, I'm going to mess this name up. Michelle Trachtenberg, who played Buffy's sister Dawn, and she played other stuff, but she passed away. And I believe it was complication of diabetes.
Yes, they just came out.
I was going to say, she's young.
35,
yeah, she was
think.
39. Oh,
okay.
39, but yeah, she was very young. And then we start hitting, Bruce Glover passed away. Now, Bruce Glover is the father of, what was that Glover guy that was in Back to the Future? Glover Crispin?
Oh, Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover.
He was in one of the James Bond movies.
That's what I have down here. He was Mr. Witt in Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Jay North.
Yes.
Who played Dennis
the Menace.
In Dennis the Menace. Legendary young actor.
I believe a troubled life afterwards.
He did.
So unfortunately, so many child actors seem to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And now we're getting into some really, really big names, in my opinion. Gene Hackman passed away.
With his wife.
Yeah. And that is just a weird... I want to do Johnny Carson.
Weird and wacky.
Weird and wacky story. But because there's a lot of questions.
Know,
they're still not sure what exactly happened there. Richard Chamberlain.
Yeah.
who...
That was a big...
Father Ralph.
Yes. Richard Chamberlain and also not Marcus Welby.
Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare. Yeah. And he broke so many, including my mother's hearts, when he finally came out. Because every lady of that age group just adored and thought he was the hottest thing since, I don't know, John Wayne.
Liberace.
Since Liberace.
Wow.
Thanks, Buff.
There's your other poster from John Wayne.
Yeah. yeah, John
Either
Wayne.
Either side of the door.
Liberace.
Oh, no, those are men.
And then Val Kilmer.
My brother George, here.
Yeah. That was huge.
Val Kilmer passed away.
We all kind of saw that coming, but
yeah. Well, he didn't look like he was in good health for a long time. No. I know a lot of people will immediately think Iceman, the Iceman. And
No, he was Batman. Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr.
He did do a turn on as, which actually I didn't mind him as the Batman.
But at least he looked athletic enough to be Batman.
Exactly. But to me, as I said earlier, Doc Holliday will always be my favorite role. Although I will say I did see The Doors, and he personified Jim Morrison.
He had a waistline.
Yeah, he did have a waistline then. and that's other than that, the only other one I'm going to mention, the Pope passed away.
Was interred today.
Yes, today. He was. As we're doing this,
have they picked a new one yet?
Not yet, but
they can't. They don't start.
I'm kidding.
But that segues.
Whole process.
Thank you, Dave, because that's a great segue when you talk about the Pope. nothing, I don't think anyone other than the Roman Church has used cliffhangers as well as they have. You know, the one pope dies, and then we all sit on the edge of our seats for that white smoke. And that brings up the fact, folks,
that we knew the candidates.
Yeah, I know. That brings up the fact, folks, that this is the end of April, and we will be doing next month, and in fact, in 1 week, you'll be getting this, our only May episode, which is episode 49. It'll be about cliffhangers and series enders, because in May there was always the tradition that TV shows ended with a lot of them cliffhangers and series enders. So then we will not be back, folks. We're going to be doing a rerun of some sort in two weeks after that, and then we will be back in June for our big 50th Quizistravaganza.
Quizamania?
Quizamania. It'll be a Quizamania, folks. We're going to do 50
gems for Jeff all around.
50 questions, each one for each 50 episodes that we have done. Man. So there'll be either questions on what we were talking about,
the
or
ones that
questions.
Bob and I were excluded from.
You're darn. You're darn too.
For reasons
now,
unknown.
I will say we will. I guess because those Father Day ones were actual episodes, weren't they? They weren't added.
They're in canon.
Yeah. So.
I think
We
should do a Wheel of Fortune style win, so that Jeff can go through and say, "I'll take the little Debbie this, and I'll take the Dalmatian, and you know what, Brian, I'll take the rest on a gift certificate."
I love it. Okay, so that's it, folks. So we only got one episode coming up in May, and you'll be hearing it probably next week. And then after that, I promise you, we will be back with that episode, the 50th, and then we're going to start our summer
second season.
Yeah. No, actually, we're already in our third. I see, but we're going to start a summer five-part series. Each of us are going to take the captain's seat, and they've all chosen a person in particular, celebrity or whatever. And Jeff said that he would be up first.
Absolutely.
So Jeff will be, and we're going to keep it secret.
And I guarantee I won't win the big devs on that particular.
No, that
he's
one's
not going to bring any.
Hostess for everybody. So stay tuned for that. And until then, all I have to say is what I always say. Stay off our lawn,
Happy
pilgrim.
Happy trails.